Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Desperately Seeking Self podcast. I'm your host, Brooke Collins. I am so glad that you are here tonight to chat about alcohol and why we struggle to control it and to moderate and to do all of the things. So before I get into this, I want to make sure if you guys could type into the chat box, how many of you have trouble controlling the amount you drink in an evening? Is it put one if it's a lot, and two if it's if you don't? One, I have a problem controlling. Two, I don't have a problem controlling it. The reason I asked this question is because I'm going to go over, you know, the topic of why can't I control my drinking, and what I've learned from the women that I work with, and why this is an important thing to discuss. Because like most things when it comes to alcohol, we're conditioned to think that it's not a highly addictive substance. And we're conditioned to think that if we just have willpower, we will be able to control it. And the people who can't control it obviously are weak and suffer from, you know, compulsive behaviors. So most of you are putting ones here, huh? Yeah. It's interesting. So don't be ashamed of that, by the way, because here's the thing. Do you know how many women that I work with that come to me and say, like, why can't I just have one or two drinks and leave it there? What's wrong with me, right? So put in the chat box yes, or just nod your heads up and down if you have ever had that thought. Why can't I just have one or two drinks, leave it there? Because what is wrong with me? Why can't I do that? Right? So drinking too much can feel like a personal weakness, can't it? Yeah, I mean, it can. You're ashamed of it, right? And it feels like a weakness, an Achilles heel. Why am I not able to conquer the alcohol? Why do I have to constantly be drinking more than I say that I'm going to? What's the problem? And that cycle on in and of itself will keep you stuck, okay? Not taking action, and it just leaves you feeling bad and ashamed. There's a way to move past the controlling of the drinking, or to move past the shaming of yourself, right? But what I want to touch on real quick is that alcohol is a powerful drug. It's legal, but it's a drug. It's mind numbing. It's altering your brain chemistry. And once you have one drink, this idea of willpower is no longer happening, because your mind is altered. Your brain is altered. Your brain function is altered. And it completely causes you to lose control and takes away any willpower that you might have had before you had the drink in the first place. So, like, I just guess it's so funny to me the expectations people have for other people around drinking. Because here, when people smoke and they say, oh, I'm only going to try and smoke one or two cigarettes, most people in today's world would be like, wow, good for you. You're doing great. Like, trying to cut back, right? Because most of us know that nicotine is highly addictive, that, you know, the cigarettes and the tobacco and the nicotine are super addictive. And that, I don't know about you, I was taught as a kid, smoking is harder to quit than heroin. And if you choose to smoke, you're signing up to be addicted to it, because you, majority of the people, cannot just smoke one or two. You're going to start smoking regularly and it kills you. How long did that take, do you think, as a society, for us to start talking about cigarettes that way? I think a pretty long time, considering that tobacco was like one of the number one income makers for the government in the country way back in the day. So I don't have facts on this. That's why I'm scratching my head, because I just realized I probably should have backed myself up with some facts there. But it took a long time. People have been smoking tobacco in pipes, and then the cigarettes, and, you know, they're still made today. In fact, I get shocked when I actually see people smoking anymore cigarettes, not the, vapey things, the cigarettes. I'm just like, man, and I smoked when I was younger in college. And I always smoked when I drank, always, just like to really amplify my hangover by adding a pack of cigarettes on top of the who knows how much alcohol I had at the bar the night before in my 20s. So here's the thing. When it comes to other drugs, right? Our expectations around people who smoke cigarettes is, well, you went into that knowing, and we know that you're addicted to it, right? And it's not even like a judgy way. We don't sit and tell them, well, you should be able to control it. You should be able to only have one cigarette a day and be totally fine, right? When do we tell people that? Never. Every single one of us has sort of an understanding about heroin, that if you touch heroin, same thing. You touch heroin, you're really asking for to be addicted for good, right? So it's funny because then you start to feel like you're weak if you can't just have one, and there comes in the feelings of shame and I'm not good enough. And it's really interesting because I always thought that I was broken in the fact that I couldn't quit drinking. And I think part of it is that we are so reliant on alcohol in our country to use it for, in our culture, I should say, to use it for everything from celebrations to grieving to whatever else that we're trying to deal with in a day. We're literally relying on it because society tells us that we need to have drinks, right? How many of you, when something good happens to you, raise your hands. How many of you, when something good happens to you, you actually are like, oh, I gotta have a drink, right? Something bad happens, I gotta have a drink. It's the knee-jerk reaction. Celebrating a raise, gotta have a bottle of champagne, right? Celebrating getting married, gotta have a bottle of wine or champagne or vodka, who knows, whatever. Tito's tequila. So I find it just so interesting that we look at people with that can't control their drinking as somebody who is, I don't want to say weak, but is not, doesn't have strong willpower. But here's the thing. We all know that alcohol, the side effects of alcohol are pretty predictable. We all know that we're going to lose our memories if we drink too much. We all know that we're going to lose control and be completely uninhibited, which a lot of us seem to like. And when we talk about alcohol versus talking about cigarettes, when people can't control the drink amount that they have, but when we talk about alcohol, it's so hard for us to be objective and look at it as a drug because it's so freaking glamorized and romanticized in the world, like so glamorized all over the place, right? So it's really normal for people when you do drink regularly to find yourself in a pattern, honestly, of wanting more and more and more. You just can't stop. Why? Because it's a drug. It's a drug. And the predictable result of having one drink is desiring or wanting another drink the second that you have the drink. So it's always interesting to me that people get so bogged down in the bullshit and the minutia of why can't I control myself? Why can't I just have one? Well, because you're drinking a substance that tells your mind that you have to have more of it and that it's going to be more fun if you have more of it, right? So I think that people know, for the most part, people who drink a lot and struggle with having drinks or taking one drink at a time or more than one drink at a time, the problem is that they sit there and shame themselves in thinking that they have the problem and they aren't able to control themselves, when really society should look at alcohol the same way that society looks at cigarettes. Not a single person sitting here right now would look at a smoker and think that what's wrong with them? Why can't they just have a half a cigarette today? Why do they need more cigarettes? Why do they keep buying cigarettes? Why are their finances being, troubled because of the cigarettes, why don't they just stop buying the cigarettes? Same thing with the diabetic. Nobody's going to look at them and pick on them because they can't control their sugar intake. Why are they eating more sugar? Well, duh, because sugar makes you want more sugar. Second you have sugar, you instantly, your brain receptors go nuts. It's the same thing as having cocaine, and they want you to have more sugar, okay? So it's interesting just to look at the way that it's, people are shamed with drinking in particular in the idea of the control situation, right? So there are also people out there who don't like the feeling that alcohol gives them. They actually don't like being drunk. How many of you type in the chat box right now if that's you? You drink, but you don't really struggle, because there were a couple twos at the beginning of the meeting here that you said you really didn't struggle. You were able to have one or two. So, you know, how many of you put in the chat box right now? Okay. So there's so many people that actually don't like what it does to them. And here, I drank and I knew that I was not going to have one drink. I knew that. But here's the other piece of this puzzle, right? For those of you that don't enjoy it, we all sort of look at drinking and our habits of drinking. Going out to dinner with friends, grabbing like three or four drinks with a group of girlfriends over dinner, and then going home or having a bottle of wine shared between you all. Here's the thing. We actually don't know what happens behind closed doors, correct? So with my personal drinking, I had a drink before I left to meet my friends, would have the three drinks with my friends, and couldn't wait most of the time to get home to really actually start drinking and drink by myself. It was my solitude. It was my own situation. It was my own secret. And it was private. Not many people knew about it. I mean, sure, don't get me wrong. People knew I was a drinker. I enjoyed drinking. I was a moderately, probably heavy drinker, but they still had no idea how much I was drinking behind closed doors. And I think because we glamorize alcohol so often and we romanticize it so often, that we don't tend to think of even our closest friends as people who, when they're home alone at night after the kids have gone to bed, are getting annihilated by themselves or with their spouse. Like, we don't really seem to think that, right? Especially in today, like when I got sober, you actually talked on the phone. Texting was just becoming kind of cool. And today you can just text everything. I mean, right? It's so, I feel like it's so much easier to hide the drinking today than it was when I was there, and it was still easy then. So if that tells you anything, right? So drinking is something we're conditioned to think that we should be able to control. I get asked all the time from people that I work with. It's, you know, we don't know the relationship that other people have with alcohol. And once I start working with women, I hear all the time that their relationship is, unsurprisingly now, at first when I started doing this work, it was very surprising, but you know, they all really felt the same about it that I did, that there was shame around it, that I was drinking more than I wanted to, that I couldn't control anything, that I couldn't restrict the alcohol. Then I have people who thank God for their finances and their work responsibilities that they didn't become full-blown alcoholics and were able to control and moderate it to a degree, right? But not being able to stop the shame train or the blame express that come through the next day about what the F's wrong with me. Why can't I just have one or two drinks, right? So the sensation of feeling drunk and being out of control is like a moth to a flame for a lot of people, right? They want to feel that feeling of, It's not necessarily relaxing. It's that feeling of that warmth that hits your throat and your stomach when you swallow. And it's that feeling, it goes through your whole body and you can just feel the effect. And it's like this warm wave of, I'm trying to think. It's a warm wave of just, I'm going to get drunk feeling. That's the only way I can describe it. So I think that a lot of people don't drink the way that I drink, and that's fine. I hope that none of you have to go as low as I did in terms of drinking. I hope that all of you are able to control it better than I was, in that you don't hit a lower bottom. You don't need to go lower. Here's the thing. In this discussion, even right now, me explaining to you how alcohol is not looked at for what it is, and it's in a highly addictive substance that's meant to be mind altering and control your brain once it's in your system. So that's bringing me, to the next topic of coping mechanisms and how we deal with stress, right? Because we drink. Here, I tell me if you understand this concept, right? I'm going to try and correlate the drinking and the controlling. When I drank and I couldn't control it, I would feel like, what's wrong with me? I can't control it. And the more I would worry about what's wrong with me, I can't control it, the more my drinking cranked up, right? So it's interesting because as a sober person, this relates, correlates the same concept, right? So the more that I focused on what's wrong with me, why can't I control my drinking, the more my drinking increased. Perfectionism, right? Like I struggle with, it's imposter syndrome. I believe I struggle with a lot of things, and I didn't believe that perfectionism was one of them, right? It's funny because you start working on your personal growth and you start looking at everything that you do, and the perfectionism that I experience gets amplified when I am under the impression that I'm not good enough or I'm in an imposter syndrome mode. So then all of a sudden I'm trying to be perfect in every way, shape, or form, and I'm, giving myself anxiety and holding myself back because of the I'm not good enough belief. Same thing with drinking, right? So that mentality. So that's why when people talk that are sober, they say, like, after you quit drinking, it's a drinking disease, but once you stop drinking, it's a thinking disease. It's true. Behaviors are behaviors, right? And we love behaviors and habits as human beings, don't we? So, okay, I digress. Sorry if this is not making any sense. I'm not been feeling well this week, and I'm just kind of space cadetting myself around just because I'm just, that's how I feel today. So if it's not making sense, let me know and I'll fill in the gaps or create a more concise episode around this. But here, this is so. There's no way to look at someone who is more disciplined than another person when it comes to alcohol. Like I always look at people who are bodybuilders and the fitness models and stuff. I have a girlfriend who I grew up with who does this now, and I'm like amazed at her, honestly, her discipline for the food that she eats and the workouts that she does with little kids. And it's just so interesting to me because my brain does not work like that. And I always thought, like, if I could be disciplined and control my drinking, it would make me like a better human somehow, right? Well, today that goes into the gym, the working out, and the food, and I cling to that out of control feeling in certain areas at different times. Depending on what's going on emotionally and which coping mechanism is going to pop up and rear its ugly head, the healthy one or the non-healthy one, right? But, you know, here, when you're drinking, you can't be disciplined because, again, mind altering drug and substance, right? So you have to look at it from a point of, if I really want to control my drinking, and this is what I tell people that work with me and my group coaching and moving forward with the course that I'm launching, the sober course, you know, it's the only way to control your drinking is by not drinking. Because whether or not you are an alcoholic, whether or not you're actually dependent on it physically, whether or not you aren't able to function because of alcohol or your life has become unmanageable is irrelevant. Any human being on the planet, or animal for that matter, that has an amount of alcohol is no longer in control or calling the shots of what they're doing, because it's a mind-altering, mood-altering substance. And the minute it hits your brain, the lights go off, the flashing alert lights, and you most likely want more. How many times have you been out and you did, let's say you did only have two. How long did you linger at the bar and like, oh, maybe we should have another? Kicking back the idea of having another. And then it's, no, I got to get home, or, oh, I got to drive, or, oh, this, right? And it becomes this game. But how many of you leave that friend after the two drinks and you get home and you think, yeah, fuck it, I'm going to have my third drink by myself here, because I'm already like buzzed up, right? I'm looking at everybody's head on my Zoom meeting, nodding yes. So it doesn't matter whether you're addicted. The only way to control the amount of alcohol that you're consuming is by not consuming it at all, legitimately. Same thing with cigarettes, same thing with sugar, right? We can look at those things and think, God, yeah, the only way, you got to quit sugar, you got to do a detox, you got to do a cleanse, you got to get rid of the sugar, right? Then you start to feel better, everything's great. Tell me, people who have done a cleanse, you are laughing because you get it. You've done a cleanse, given up the sugar, like let's say the Whole 30, right? The end of the Whole 30, you feel fucking fantastic. Like, I feel my brain cloud is gone. The fog is gone. I'm sleeping better. I'm like my gut is better. There's no bloating. There's no anxiety is so reduced, all from giving up the little sugar that I eat in my diet, right? You have one cupcake at a kid's party and you feel like you're dying. And then what happens after that? You immediately want more sugar. You feel sick. And hours later, you're like, oh man, I need a candy bar. I need more processed stuff, right? So it's the same thing. And it's interesting that we can all bob our heads and agree around sugar and around nicotine, that they're highly freaking addictive. And if you put them in your system, you're going to be addicted and you're going to want more. But none of us can do that about alcohol, because we're so conditioned to think it's rosé all day. 1 o'clock, mama needs to sip it up, right? Yeah. So people will never be satisfied with one or two drinks. Even if you don't have a drinking problem, you're going to want more. So it's interesting that some people believe in the promotion of moderation in my industry, and that's fine. You know, if you're able to help people moderate drinking, fine. I find that that doesn't help. It may help for a time, but eventually the alcohol and the brain chemistry is going to win and you're not going to be able to control it anymore. Now, that may be in 1 month, in 6 months, in 10 years. I don't care, but eventually it won't be enough. So I think when you look at how can I control and just have one or two, fuck it, just don't have it at all. Because if you don't have it at all, you're honestly opening yourself up to feel better and to jump into alcohol-free living or sobriety. And you know why it is so awesome to be living alcohol-free and without this guilting and the what's wrong with me thought process? Is it's fucking freedom. It's freedom. That's why I continue to stay sober today, because I have freedom from something that used to bog down my mind and cause me to feel badly about myself, to shame myself, to question my value and worth on this earth. And it also simultaneously caused my life to be blown the fuck apart because of it. And yet I couldn't stop reaching for it. And I have lots of friends in my sober community, my personal sober community, who they didn't even drink every day and they still blew their fucking worlds apart. Excuse the F-bombs today too, by the way. But they didn't even drink every day. Not everyday drinkers. Still blowing their world apart because of it. So when you can sit here listening to this right now and say, I'm sick and tired of asking myself the question, what is wrong with me and why can't I control this? The reason you can't control this is because it's a drug. It's a legal drug that is mind altering and you will never be able to control it. That's my belief. There's a ton of scientific studies and evidence to back me up. So I think that alcohol-free is the place to be. Didn't mean to rhyme there. I'm very happy today to be sober. I'm very happy to help other women find being sober or sobriety. Or alcohol-free living and helping them navigate the first murky couple months in there, because we are a society that puts alcohol in everything. I have a friend. She was a client and we became friends. So I had to stop seeing her as a client because it was too hard for me to be do my job. And so what she was saying something and she said, God, you know, I was listening to your podcast episode and I'm looking for a fire table or a fire pit or something. And she said, and I really kind of thought like, oh, maybe she sees alcohol in the ads because she, you know, is a recovering alcoholic and blah, blah, blah. But she literally was blown away that every image of these fire pit tables for sale on Wayfair and on Home Depot and Lowe's and any other site that sells those fire tables had glasses of wine sitting on there. If the wine wasn't in the cup, it was a wine glass. And I said, yeah, I told you, because we're a society. Our society, our culture is a drink pusher. Anyways, I touched on the perfectionism a bit tonight, and actually it just sparked me to think like next week, I'm probably going to touch on that aspect again, because it is interesting that the more that we try and fixate on the value of something that we're not good at or that we feel ashamed about, it's like it 10 times on the other end, like you start drinking more or your perfectionism kicks in and you start trying to control everything around you. It's just a little interesting thing I find about myself and a lot of the people, the women I work with and help. So I hope that this episode was helpful for you today. I hope that you were able to resonate with some of what I said and understand why I feel the way I do about the just not drinking at all in terms of controlling it. But no matter where you are, I hope that you are living a free and happy life this week, free of hangovers and ass-kicking machines and the shame train. So that's it. I'm signing off. I will see you all next week. Thanks so much for being here. Ladies, thank you for jumping on the live and see you guys next week.